Well, very good evening to all in here tonight to hear the gospel. It's a privilege to come here and thank you for the invitation to preach the word of our Lord. That is the gospel of Christ. We've heard it quoted here tonight. That is the power of God unto salvation. His power, the power of Almighty God, which doesn't fade. And it remains the gospel unto salvation today. We'll just look to the Lord briefly in a word of prayer and then we'll go to his word. Our Father, we thank you for the word of God. And Father, we are here before you looking for blessing. Father, upon your saints who have trusted in Christ and upon, Lord, any here who might be out of Christ. Perhaps there's those who might hear later on the internet, I don't know. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would save and glorify your Son for Jesus' sake. Amen. Okay, for our first reading, let's go over to Matthew's Gospel. And I'll just read there. If you don't have a Bible, you can just follow along. We're looking at Matthew's Gospel and chapter 27. Verse 35 says, "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots." Down to verse 45. "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Over to verse 50. "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." The Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verse 33. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors," that is those criminals who had been condemned of death, to the same death as the Lord, the cross, "one on the right hand and the other on the left hand." There, verse 34. "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Two words of the Lord on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." A question and a prayer. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why had God forsaken his Son? We see an answer to this in his request. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now let's go over to the book of Romans. I want to look in the first chapter. And most of my thoughts will be in the book of Romans. I just want to show you from the book of Romans, from the first chapter. And this Epistle of the Romans, if you've never read a Bible, if you're unsaved in here tonight, Christians throughout the centuries have said that this is the most clear depiction of the gospel that there is in the New Testament. The gospel was clear through the scriptures, but in the book of Romans it's really magnified and you have the answers to the questions why, how. How could God save? How can God forgive a sinner? How can God justify a sinner? Why would God justify a sinner? One who has been his enemy, one who has sinned against his holy face. Why would God do that? The answer is in this book. And in the first chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, Paul starts to explain and to answer these questions. The Lord Jesus Christ, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's a question, there's an answer to that question tonight. God gave his Son to the cross to forgive sinners, to forgive you and I of our sins. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How can God forgive? There's an answer to that question tonight. God has made a just and a righteous way by which your conscience can be completely cleared. And you can know in your heart that God is righteous in forgiving me when I come to Christ, because he has fulfilled all righteousness in him. Just want to look from verse 14, chapter 1. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's intending to come to the church that's at Rome, to preach the gospel to them. And there's Christians here hearing the gospel. Paul didn't see anything wrong with preaching the gospel to Christians. And it was a blessing tonight to gather with some of God's saints and pray before the meeting. This is something Christians should always do and encourage each other to preach and to continue to preach. Nothing else but the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is God's only way, God's only power unto salvation. He says, this is why he wanted to come. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And he's speaking about the whole scope of mankind here. For I am not ashamed. Verse 15, sorry. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. That is the good news to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, that is to the non-Jew. The whole world is in view. Jews and non-Jews, all other nations. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Or by faith the just shall live. Verse 18. And here is the heart of my message tonight. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Why hast thou forsaken me? And these words here, and from this portion of scripture, on through to the 20th verse of chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was going to expose the sinfulness of mankind. And he speaks in this first chapter here, and he goes to speak about the sin of the Gentiles. And this is the reason Jesus Christ was forsaken of his Father on the cross. And we're going to learn here that God had heaped upon his Son all the sins which are going to be shown in this portion of scripture. And you know, it's been said, and I believe it's the truth, you cannot understand the gospel of Jesus Christ until you understand the sinfulness of mankind. Until you understand the character of man's sin, that we have sinned against pure and holy and righteous Almighty God, whose standard has never, ever, ever changed and never shall. To have sinned against a holy God makes us guilty of his wrath. God, who is holy, has wrath upon sinners as a just and righteous wrath. And Paul is going to start to explain that sin. He goes on to speak about the Gentile sin, and it's characteristic of all men. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth down and suppress it in unrighteousness. When God tells you you're a sinner, you say, no, I'm okay. I'm not that bad. The truth is, you know you're a sinner. The truth is, I know I'm a sinner. The truth is, everyone knows they are sinners, and we know everybody else is sinners. And when the truth comes to us, we suppress it in righteousness, don't we? And we don't see how greatly in need we are of God's salvation. Because, look at the accumulation of sin here. Now think about this, and I want you genuinely and honestly here tonight to ask, where do these sins lurk in my mind? And where do these sins lurk in my heart? And how much do they pervade everything I do, my thinking, my choices, my decisions, my meditations, my plans, my ambitions? Where do these find their place in our lives? And I think if we're honest, and if you allow the Word of God to shine into your heart, each one of us here tonight will agree that we are of the worst and most miserable type of sinners that you'd ever really imagined. Our trouble is we don't think about it enough. But we'll think about it tonight from reading God's word. Who hold down the truth, suppress it in unrighteousness. Reason for doing so: because that which may be known of God is manifest in them or in us. For God hath showed it, and God has shown us something of it. Our conscience is kicked in at various times in our life, and we know, oh, I've sinned. Oh, I'm a terrible person. Somebody else who makes a good decision next to us, and we've maybe made a bad one. Conscience, conscience, conscience. You hear something of scripture, you hear a story, you see something good done. conscience. I didn't do that. I had no desire to do that. Why do men suppress the truth and righteousness? Because they know something of it and they hate the truth. The scripture says that men love darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it unto them. God has shown the truth. And because you hate the truth, you suppress it and don't want nothing to do with it. It's an accumulation of sin. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. There's something understood of God, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, it continues from there. Because that when they knew God, when that knowledge they had of God, when they had it, they glorified him not as God. So we take our knowledge of God, and what do we do with it? We're face to face with a holy God whom we must worship and must be subject to, and we say, let's put this knowledge away, let's suppress it, because I don't want to humble myself. I don't want to have any God but me. Do you see how sinful man is here? Do you see how justly condemned we are by a holy God? This is our sinfulness. Professing themselves to be wise. And when we do this stupid foolishness and turn our backs on God and suppress the truth and refuse to bow to his glory and worship him, what do? We refuse to acknowledge we've done something very foolish. And instead we say, am I not wise? Is it not wise for me to go this way? Is it not wise for me to choose the things which are in my heart that I want to do? Is this not the way of wisdom? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So now here we are, sinners who had a knowledge, and now here we are steeped in foolishness. You think of a fool, one who has lost his knowledge which he had, and is going down a wrong road. How much danger is that person in? I don't want to go down every sin that's in here. You see in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. And men are saying, instead of coming from God, our creator, our sustainer, we come from animals, we come from the creation, we come from the earth, we come from some kind of pre-existent sludge in the universe, and we evolved and we give glory to creation. We say we are just animals, we come from animals. This accumulating sin, it just comes snowballs into a big massive mess before God. And I want to look back at verse 18. I say that's the heart of my message. Paul was unashamed to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He says, he gives us a number of reasons and they're all connected, but he's wanting to get somewhere. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Verse 17, how could that be so? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. God's righteousness is revealed in the gospel. How? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And in all these sins. And we mentioned some of the sins of the Gentiles common to all men. Chapter 2 goes on to speak about sins of the Jews. And then he sums it all up in chapter 3. And says that puts the Jews and the Gentiles together. And says there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth. All have gone astray. He puts everybody together and says we're all like this. All these sins that are mentioned were heaped upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what's in view here. How can God forgive us? When the Lord Jesus Christ says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All these sins we are guilty of were laid upon him. This is what the verse means. The wrath of God is revealed in the gospel. Do we know that God reveals wrath? When God's first judged Adam and his wife in the garden for their sin. What happened? They died spiritually. What happened? They were put out of the garden, out of the presence of God. Wrath upon sin. There was a sacrifice offered. The animal had to die, or wrath upon sin. A picture of God's wrath upon sin. All the Old Testament sacrifice, picturing and portraying wrath upon sin. Someone has to die. The guilty must die. But God, remember the Lord Jesus' prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God would forgive the sinner. How? By placing the guilt of the sinner on the innocent. In the Old Testament, it was the animals, but it wasn't really given to the animals, it was only by type. Every saint of the Old Testament were forgiven of their sins because their sins were laid upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we have here. The wrath of God, it was revealed in all these ways. In the old time when Noah was to build the ark and the floods came upon, that was wrath upon sin. Sodom and Gomorrah, wrath upon sin. Fire came from heaven and consumed them. Wrath upon sin. All these things displayed a righteousness of God, just in condemning sinners, just in judging sinners and punishing them. But at the cross, we see God's wrath poured out in all its fullness. When our Lord Jesus Christ was dying upon the cross, it was wrath, God's wrath upon our sins. When he was dying there, verse 18 is telling us that this is the righteousness of God, which is revealed in the gospel. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins. Christ, under God's wrath upon the cross, laden with our sins. Sins he could not do. Sins he did not do. Sins that had no place in his heart. Had nothing in his life. Sins that he was so far from. They were laden upon Christ. He bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. And there they are in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Let's go over to chapter 2, verse 4. He's taken us through and showed us the accumulation of sin in men's lives. And he goes on to speak about the hypocritical sinner, the Jewish sinner. And the sinners there and that he's speaking to in verse 4, he's bringing everything that he said to this point, and he's saying, do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Thee who? All those who have been mentioned. Do you know that hypocrisy was laid upon Christ at the cross? Verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon it at the cross. The hypocritical sinner, he who would judge those who are guilty of such things and doing the same, who is also guilty of the wrath of God, hypocrisy was laid upon Christ. What about these sinners who suppress the truth and unrighteousness? Do you know that that sin of suppressing righteous truth was laid upon Christ? Do you know that the denial of your sinfulness, that sin that refuses God's light and just tells you how sinful you are, was laid upon Christ? The wrath of God was revealed from heaven upon it at the cross. Do you know that the sin, some of the most deeply immoral sins, and we've spoken about it, was in the introduction here before I came up, and in the prayer meeting, the prayer was to the Lord that we would continue to preach the old gospel that never changes, because the need of man never changes. And you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, way years ago, way thousands of years ago, sodomy, homosexuality we call it, lesbianism, all these things, do you know the guilt of those sins were laid upon our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that was laid on him there? So that for those who would suppress the truth and unrighteousness, there is a salvation for you tonight. For the hypocrite who despises the riches of his goodness and forbearance, there is a salvation for you if you turn to Christ. For if you turn to Christ, you turn to the one upon whom God's wrath was poured out in its fullness, and in whose pure and holy body, who did no sin, who could not sin, your guilt was laid upon him. to the people who are guilty of some of these grossly immoral sins. I won't mention them again. They're there in the world today. There is a saviour for them today, because the guilt of those wicked, unclean sins were laid upon our Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. And laden in his body upon the tree, the guilt was borne. A worthy and spotless sacrifice, worthy to bear the vilest sins, guilt upon himself. And there the wrath fell and consumed all the guilt, so that these kind of sinners can come to Christ. Speaking of these hypocrites, you are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Those who teach others, and who are guilty of them, of doing the things they instruct others against. Hypocrites. Hypocrisy laid upon Christ. All these sins were laid upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are many Christians in here tonight. Paul starts out his message here. Before he goes on, Paul is glorying. Right here he is glorying, and I will glory in the Lord Jesus Christ myself. Paul says here, so as much as in me is, I am ready. I am eager. I am ready to explode with this message. What is he saying? I am ready to preach the gospel to you that at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. Because in it, this righteousness of God against sin, one who pours out his wrath upon all these things, shows himself to be completely against these sins. He is righteous. There is no darkness at all in God, the scripture says. There is no unrighteousness in him. The things he condemns, he hates. The wrath he pours out on all these sins shows that he is a righteous God, and character completely against every one of them. That is the holiness of our Creator and Sustainer. This is the perfection of him. He hates them all. He despises them all. He has condemned them all. He judges them all. But listen, folks, he has judged them already. He has judged these things in his Son. And he shows himself to be a righteous God in doing so. But the gospel is that that wrath was poured out upon our Lord Jesus Christ. He stood in our place. Our Lord came from heaven. And when he came down, he stood where sinners stand, having none of our sins. And he took upon him all the guilt of our sins, and dying on the cross was judged for our sins. God's wrath was poured out in full measure upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I will glory in this. I am not ashamed. What he is saying is, I'm proud of the gospel. I'm so proud of the gospel. You know why? Because when I meet a sinner of whatever description, I can look to them and say, do you know your sin has been robbed of its power? Do you know your sin has been laid upon an innocent one? Do you know your sin is condemned by God? Don't you believe it? Look to the cross. Look to the cross and you'll believe it, because there is a man dying for sin, dying for the sin of the world, dying for sins of every description, and God shows his feeling, his heart, and his mind, his character. He destroyed those sins at the cross and robbed them of their power and of their strength in your life. There is a salvation for you. If you have any sin in your life, you know we all sin. This one that's standing before you, if I say that I have no sin, God's word tells me that I'm a liar. I deceive myself and the truth is not in me. But sin in my life has been robbed of its power. My sin has been laid upon Christ. I have a cleansing for sin by the blood of Christ. And that is the glorious gospel of God. All who will come to God by him will find an answer to the question, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why was he forsaken? So that you should not be forsaken. So that you and I, guilty of at least some of these sins, and the whole world guilty of all the sins the Bible condemns, that we all may come to him and find one who was forsaken for a spell because of our sins laid upon him, that having finished the work and taken away the wrath of God upon those sins, that we, who presently without him are yet under the wrath of God, may be taken into the security of Christ, our righteousness. God shows his answer to the question of how a man can be forgiven when Christ says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because Christ has died for our sins, because God's wrath was poured out upon him, it need not be upon you. It need not be upon me. We need not perish under the wrath of God, the righteous wrath of God. We may look to Christ and behold one condemned for us. We may look to Christ and behold our sin destroyed and judged there in him on the cross. We may look to him and look to God the Father and say, Father, God Almighty, have you done this for me? Is my sin laid there? The Bible tells us it is. Therefore, we can come and say, Lord, and I did this at the age of 24. If Christ died for my sins are judged. Deliver me from them. Let me not abide in that which you have demonstrated your wrath upon, sin. Let me not abide in that which you have confirmed to me you are completely opposed to, my sin. Deliver me out of my sins. Have mercy on my sins. Wash me of my sins. Receive me in your Son. Raise me with Christ. Make me a new creation, a new creature. And God justly can forgive because his wrath is satisfied. You know the prophet Elijah, in the context of this portion of scripture I'm going to mention, 1 Kings 18, was Israel were completely turned away from God, following false gods. There was the prophets of Baal, there was many of them. And yet the context was God turning Israel's heart back to him. And Elijah said that. He says that the Lord has turned your heart back. That's the context. Their heart being turned back to God. And there was an altar made. And it was unhewn stone. Because man wasn't to put his tool to it. It wasn't have nothing to do with man. And the stones were laid one upon the other. Natural stones, untouched, the stones which God had created. Man had nothing to do with them, and they were laid one upon the other, and an altar was made. And it portrayed an altar set up by God, which man had no work in, no tool upon it. Natural stone, made by God. And there it was. And the sacrifice was laid upon it. Everything that was opposed to that sacrifice being consumed was present. There was water poured over the top of that sacrifice. There was water poured over the top of that sacrifice. And there was more water poured over the top of that sacrifice. It was sodden with water. The wood was drenched and soaked in. So much water was poured upon that a trench that had been dug round about. And all this to demonstrate God's righteous wrath and how powerful it is and how perfect it is and how completely it has its way when he judges. And at the time of the evening sacrifice, the wrath of God fell from heaven and consumed not only the sacrifice, but the altar. It licked up the stones, the dust, and everything it says. And all the water that was there, water that should have prevented fire, the fire was so perfectly powerful and so completely poured out that there was nothing left but a scorched mark. Well, once there had been a sacrifice. That is a perfect picture, as far as pictures go, of what our Lord Jesus Christ did at the cross. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven at the cross upon all the ungodliness that was laid upon him, our Lord Jesus Christ. It fell once. When it fell that one time, it was completely fulfilled. Our Lord Jesus Christ said at the end of his time on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished, paid in full, never to be paid again." The stones were taken away. There was nothing left of the altar. There's no more altar. There is no more offering. There is no more sacrifice. When our Lord Jesus Christ died for sin, he died as that perfect man. He died bearing all the sin of the world in his body upon the tree. The sins of every kind of sinner judged and condemned perfectly once and for all at the cross. The life that was offered up and the man who died there doing that was none other than God himself incarnate, God the Son. That was a perfect offering. That was a complete offering. That was a pure sacrifice. The blood which ran there, the scriptures declare, is incorruptible. Not like silver or gold which perishes. It is unique. The altar has been taken away just like in Elijah's offering. There is no more cross. There is no more cross to be. No more man to be crucified. It's all done. If you're outside of Christ here tonight, there is a Saviour in heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. His gospel is the gospel of God. It's the gospel concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. It is the gospel, just the gospel. The only gospel. It's the gospel of Christ, God's anointed. It is for you tonight. Are you a Christian backslidden? Are you a Christian who's looking lightly upon your sins? View the cross and see how God views your sin. See how God views my sin. Judged by the wrath of God at the cross in his Son. There is deliverance for you because Christ paid for your sins and my sins. Brother and sister here tonight, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of Christ. May you continue to preach it. And may you have it ready on every occasion for every person you meet. For it answers every problem out there. And the Lord will bless. For the wrath of God is taken away in Christ. What is there left? Blessing. What is there left? Grace. What is there left? It's God's abundant love. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we go to the world and proclaim it. And we trust if you're out of Christ here tonight, you'll think hard and seriously about your sin, but look to the one who died for it, and you'll have his forgiveness. And the Lord bless in his holy name. So just close in prayer now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the one who died for our sins. The one who can forgive us our sins, through whom and account of whom we can be forgiven. Lord Father, the one Lord who can justify us and does justify us by his shed blood. Father, the one who is risen from the dead and able to impute to us, Lord, his own righteousness. Father, that we, Lord, might live acceptably before you. For the just shall live by the faith of him and by the faith of him alone. And Father, we look to you for your blessing now. And we ask you, Father, for your guidance and leading throughout the year in proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for his name's sake and for his glory. Amen.